I'm Richard Medhurst, and this is The Communique.
In the limelight.
6 months on, the conflict in Ukraine and ongoing COVID-19 pandemic have derailed some changes agreed on COP26 climate summit in Glasgow, Scotland. We are prepared for you an article written by Fiona Harvey. The piece is titled Cash, Coal, Cars and Trees. What progress has been made since COP26? In the run-up to the COP26 summit in Glasgow, the British government used the mantra of cash, coal, cars and trees to keep the world to 1.5 degrees Celsius to highlight four key areas on which the conference would focus. First of all, cash. At COP26, rich countries were supposed to fulfill a long-standing promise made back in 2009 to provide $100 billion a year in climate finance to the developing world from 2020. The actual amounts provided are still falling way short, but developed countries are claiming they did produce evidence that they would meet the promise this year or next, with the five-year average from 2020 to 2025 at around $100 billion. Developing countries, however, have also been promised a new financial settlement that would see greater flows from 2025, with details yet to be decided. However, in the months since, there has been little advance on the COP26 promise of cash. Rachel Kite and Lord Stern, both former top World Bank officials, told The Guardian of several concerns over the World Bank's programs on climate change. Lord Stern said the World Bank's resources would be stretched by the additional strains of high energy and high food prices around the world, and the effects of the conflict in Ukraine. Rachel Kite cast doubt on whether the World Bank was truly committed to the climate fight. The World Bank weak showing at Glasgow and continued questions about their appetite for urgent action has meant that coalitions form without them at the helm. Broader questions of whether the Bretton Woods institutions are fit for the purpose for the climate crisis grow. The private sector has also come under closer scrutiny. The GFANZ network, the Glasgow Financial Alliance for Net Zero, was announced with fanfare by Mark Carney, the former governor of the Bank of England and United Nations climate envoy. However, it is unclear how much of that is flowing to the poorest countries that need it most. There are also questions raised by The Guardian's carbon bubble investigation over whether investors are pouring money into fossil fuels, now enjoying a bonanza rather than clean technology. There is little in GFANZ or the Glasgow Financial Alliance for Net Zero rules to stop them. Mark Carney said it was the job of governments to regulate and provide incentives that would encourage capital into the right directions. Finance will not drive the net zero transition on its own. Finance is an enabler, a catalyst that will speed what governments and companies initiate. If there is commitment to move to a sustainable, resilient and fair energy system, and the right policies are made, finance will be there. Second, coal. Coal was a clear focus of the COP26 summit in Glasgow, though some of the successes the UK initially trumpeted for commitments to phase out coal turned out to be less solid than claimed. In the closing moments of the Glasgow talks, coal also became a flashpoint as China and India refused to sign up to a phase-out of coal and insisted on changing the term to a phase-down. Since then, new evidence has emerged of coal expansion as recovery from COVID has quickened. And the conflict in Ukraine has spurred some countries to consider a return to coal or a delay to its phasing out. Fatih Birol, Executive Director of the International Energy Agency, IEA, said coal must be at the forefront of the COP27 summit. The biggest risk is the growing appetite for infrastructure investments in coal. If we are not able to slow that down or to stop it altogether, we may lock in our future. If I had to pick one issue for COP27 summit, that issue would be coal. Cars. Electric vehicle sales doubled in key markets last year as manufacturers ramped up production and consumers embraced new models. But the future of the market this year is looking more uncertain. The conflict in Ukraine has disrupted key supply chains, and Volkswagen in Germany said recently that it had sold out of electric vehicles for this year for its EU and US markets. Other car manufacturers are also struggling with rising costs and looking for alternative sources for components. According to the International Energy Agency, the IEA, many green campaigners are also concerned that talking about cars is the wrong focus. They say we should be talking about transport. Investment in public transport, making it cheaper or even free, is one of the quickest ways to bring down demand for oil. Number 4, trees. Britain made action on forests a key focus at the COP26 summit in Glasgow, with a gathering of world leaders to discuss forests and land use and a separate 2-day programme of events. A deal to halt global deforestation, signed by China, the United States and Brazil, among other nations, was the first big win of the Glasgow fortnight. But in the past months, Brazil's deforestation rate in the Amazon rainforest has soared to devastating record levels. And a report on the Congo, one of the world's most important remaining rainforests, has cast doubt on the Congo government's willingness to take the action needed to halt logging and destruction. Meanwhile, another key forestry meeting this year, the Convention on Biological Diversity, meant to be held in Kunming in China in 2020, but was delayed, is now in limbo due to the Chinese government's response to the resurgence of COVID-19. Whether or when the conference will take place at all is not known. Lord Goldsmith, the British minister in charge of the COP26 forestry effort, has been on a frantic round of diplomacy this year to shore up the forest deal. He said, "The British wanted world leaders to meet every year to discuss progress," adding, "The contribution of forestry to the overall global emissions reductions needed is potentially huge. It could contribute about 10-15% to the global emissions target." According to Fatih Birol, one of the world's foremost energy economists, there are 3 clear answers to this climate crisis. Countries must seek to replace fossil fuels in the short term by squeezing more out of their current supplies. Urgent measures such as turning down thermostats, imposing speed limits on cars, and installing home insulation must be taken to cut down on demand. And renewable energies must be ramped up fast by removing barriers such as planning problems and grid connections. Fatih Birol said, "I believe we have the chance to make this a historic turning point towards a cleaner and a more secure energy system. This is the first time I have seen such momentum behind change in the energy sector." However, this optimistic view depends on countries seizing the opportunities of renewable energies and ignoring the pleas of big oil. Fossil fuel companies have pledged to plow a proportion of their cash into clean energy, but many are just as likely to pour it into fresh extraction. The Guardian has uncovered nearly 200 examples of new fossil fuel projects now under development that, if brought to fruition, would result in 1 billion tons of carbon dioxide emissions, or about 18 years' worth of emissions at current levels. That would put paid to any hope of staying within the 1.5 degrees Celsius limit.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatihi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at the value of life from an Islamic perspective. And we were saying that life needs to be preserved and protected, and that is the cornerstone of Islamic belief. Violation on others' life and depriving an individual of his right to live in the eyes of Islam is the biggest sin. So we have what we call major sins, right? So we have major sins in terms of belief, and that is to commit kufr or shirk in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the, you know, the first one would be despair from Allah's mercy. And when we look at the practical sins, the first and biggest sin is taking one's life. And that's a major sin. It's a sin that it will guarantee a person who kills another person eternal damnation, eternal hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Seeing the destruction of the world is easier for God than seeing a believer being murdered." I mean, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this entire universe means nothing, is valueless. What has value is the life of a person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares about that more than anything else. So the Prophet said, if this whole universe, this whole existence is collapses and gets destroyed and, you know, seeing the destruction of it, it's more easier to Allah than seeing a mu'min, a believer, being killed. And all I can say is, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on us, because we constantly destroying this universe over and over by shedding the blood of other people. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ. He who kills a mu'min deliberately, obviously, you know, there's a room for accident, but deliberately, as we see in Syria, as we see in Yemen, as we see in Iran, as we see in Iraq, as we see in many countries, Muslims being killed, innocent Muslims. Allah says, then his punishment is hell. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. They would remain in it for eternity. I mean, eternity is not even a number. It's a concept. It's something that we cannot, our minds cannot comprehend the concept of eternity. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stop here? Obviously not. He says, وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ. So Allah, not only he will enter him hellfire for eternity, he has the wrath and the anger of Allah upon him, and Allah is cursing him. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. So sometimes a person gets to hell and he thinks, okay, I'm done. But Allah says, no, you will be coming, you will go to hell. On top of that, a person will be cursed. The person will have the anger of and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And more than that, there's a severe punishment. Because people, obviously, in hellfire, each person gets punished depending on his sins and depending on he did or what he did. The worst of them, obviously, are those who take the life of an individual, a life of a believing man or a woman or an innocent person. Let us take a short break and then we will continue right after, inshallah.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. Now, furthermore, in Islam, or in Islamic law, the punishment for killing someone without a legal permit, in this word, is execution. So the Quran says, and the Quran obviously states that law in verse 33 of chapter 13, he says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And do not kill the soul which Allah has forbidden, except by right, obviously. وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مَظْلُومًا. And who have, and whoever is killed unjustly, we have given his heron authority, but do not exceed the limit of taking a life. Indeed, he has been supported by Allah. So Allah says, obviously, if a person gets killed unjustly and rightfully, those his family members have the right to seek retribution and have a life taken for a life. So Allah says, I have given you that right. But if it is possible, I mean, Allah is talking to those who have this power to take the life of the other person for taking a life of one of them. He's like, it's better not to kill. If you forgive, it would be a much better thing, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously is trying to preserve and the life. One of the outstanding characteristics of the Islamic law was a serious fight against the inhumane act and tradition of burying their infant daughters alive. Now, this is something that we, when we read the Quran, we see Allah says in the Quran, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُؤْلَتْ بِأَيِّ دَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, that the infant child on the day of judgment will ask, for what sin was it killed? And we hear, we read some of the saddest stories that one could come up upon when we flip the pages of history and we see that before the era, before Islam, how men used to bury their daughters alive. So Islam, one of the strongest things that Islam stood against was that fact. But at the advent of Islam, it was immediately banned. So when Islam came, they banned that practice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they stood harshly against such a practice of killing and burying an infant child. As Islam began to strictly against it and firmly put laws in this regard, that you have no right to take the life of other people, and especially when it comes to one's children. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادُكُمْ خَيْشَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ, and do not kill your children out of fear of poverty, which they used to do back in the day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moved very harshly against those who take the life of innocent people, be it their own, be it daughters or be it children, or be it the life of other people. So Islam values the life of life more than any system or anything in this existence. We'll leave it here, and inshallah we will continue in the episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. اللهم صل على محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone. We now present you a statement from the Lord of the Age, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, who despite being in the state of occultation, keeps his eyes on the followers of the school of the Prophet's infallible Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. We are neither negligent of caring for you nor forgetful of you. And if it were not for that, hardship would have befallen you and the enemies would have massacred you. So fear God and support us.
This is IRIB English Radio. Thank you. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Stopping by and listening to street musicians usually changes our mood for the rest of the day. The experience would be different if one lies under the instrument while it is being played. And that's exactly what a pianist in America has done. Colin Huggins, a busker, wheels his grand piano more than a half a mile from a mini storage to New York's Washington Square Park. He lets people lie down under the instrument and feel the vibrations from the claviers in their bodies. Colin says he wants to help people recover emotionally from the intense disconnect they had faced during COVID lockdowns.
I've always wanted to accommodate feelings in the best way possible, and I want to do it with music, and this is the best way I figure out how to do it. Maybe someday I'll figure out a way to do it even better, and I won't need to push this piano here. But as of now, this is the best I've got.
New York was one of the hardest hit cities by COVID in the U.S. Like other places, the major city imposed lockdowns and tough curbs to contain the virus. Despite that, Colin continued playing on the streets, frequently to an audience of zero. He says he strongly believes that everything will be okay. Cambodian fishermen aiming for small fish were shocked to see the surprise catch tied to their hook. This creature was nothing but an endangered giant freshwater stingray, which had swallowed the fishermen's catch. It was 4 meters long and weighed 180 kilos. The female leviathan is one of the rarest species of fish in Southeast Asia. Therefore, a team of international experts helped unhook the stingray to release it back to the waters unharmed.
All right, so we've just released our giant stingray back into the wild. She's kind of hanging out on the surface of the river here. It's amazing to be able to see her swimming around in her natural habitat and to have participated in the release of this giant stingray today.
The giant stingray was caught in the Mekong River, an important habitat for different species of fish, including huge catfish and barb. However, experts say the river's underwater ecosystem has been damaged by massive plastic wastes. Environmentalists constantly warn that building dams on the Mekong River is also destroying its large fish stock.
Scaling Mount Everest is only a dream for many and a once-in-a-lifetime achievement for most professional mountaineers. Well, not for this Nepali Sherpa, who has now repeated the feat for a record 26th time. 52-year-old Kami Rita led a group of other Sherpa climbers along the traditional Southeast Ridge route to the world's tallest peak. In the process, he beat his own previous record set last year. Rita first scaled Everest in 1994 and has been making the trip nearly every year since then. The Sherpa community is an ethnic group indigenous to the Himalayan region. They are expert mountain navigators who also carry heavy loads. Everest stands nearly 9,000 meters above sea level. The mountain has been climbed more than 10,000 times since it was first scaled in 1953. The bad news is more than 300 people have died trying. Chinese scientists are establishing a meteorological monitoring station at an altitude of 8,800 meters on Mount Kumalangma, the world's highest peak on the China-Nepal border. The 13 members of the research team started the trek towards an 8,300-meter base camp on Mount Kulalangma from a 7,028-meter camp on Tuesday morning. They reached the camp in the afternoon and went on the last section of the arduous journey up on Wednesday morning. It replaces the one at an altitude of 8,430 meters set up by the British and U.S. scientists on the mountains in 2019. While some drivers are obsessed with the speed, some others have a passion for the look of their cars. In Tehran, car tuning lovers have assembled for the biggest show of modified vehicles. Yusuf Jalali has the story.
Fast and furious. It's the biggest show of personal cars turned SUVs. Held in Tehran's Island Karting Track, the event brought together more than 500 motorists to flaunt their modified cars.
This is the only place where car tuning lovers can vent their energy and show off their beautiful cars. When I saw the call for such a big assembly of modified vehicles, I didn't waste a moment and decided to bring my car here.
Exhausts sound deeper, with flames popping out. Sound systems rattle the car roofs. And regular doors are replaced by butterfly doors, opening upward. To these people, car tuning is more than a hobby, but a passion. Majid says he has spent double the price of this Peugeot 206 to turn it into a green beast.
For us, our cars mean everything. To me, it's love. I save whatever I earn to spend on my car. So I urge the police to respect this love and stop fining us when we roll with our cars on the streets.
Based on Iran's traffic regulations, drivers are not allowed to alter the original design of their cars. Installing loudspeakers and noisy exhaust systems, and even attaching stickers, are associated with fines. Omid says he can't take this. He has transformed his Iranian-made car, dubbed Rana, into a whole new model, saying it looks better now on the street.
I spent whatever I could afford to make the streets look better with our cars, but the police are treating us like we are wrongdoers. I myself oppose dangerous driving in the city. What I want is just to make my car look more attractive.
Car tuning encompasses any modification to a vehicle that would lead to a higher engine performance and dynamic handling of the car. As long as these people stick to these rules, police will not have issues. Otherwise, they must keep these beauties inside their parking lots.
Thank you. However eye-catching they are, these mutated cars are no longer road pets and are good for drifting on tracks like this. Organizers say that's exactly why they held this show. To provide a chance for car tuning maniacs to vent their energy in a safe place. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The third long-duration team of astronauts launched by SpaceX to the International Space Station, ISS, for NASA safely departed the orbiting outpost to begin their descent back to Earth, capping a six-month science mission. Live video showing the capsule drifting away from the station as the two vehicles soared high over Australia was shown on a NASA webcast. Wearing helmeted white and black spacesuits, the four astronauts were seen strapped into the crew cabin shortly before the spacecraft separated from the station, orbiting some 400 kilometers above the Earth. NASA said one of the cosmonauts, Oleg Artemyev, assumed command of the ISS from Marshburn in the handover before Thursday's undocking.
And I relinquish control of the or command of the space station to you.
I accept command. I accept command. Thank you for here. Thank you for friendship. It was unbelievable time to go.
If all goes smoothly, the crew Dragon craft dubbed Endurance will parachute into the sea off the coast of Florida on Friday. Their departure came about a week after they welcomed their replacement team aboard the station, also currently home to three Russian cosmonauts on a long-term mission. Iran's capital, Tehran, is hosting the country's most high-profile robotics event, dubbed RoboCop Iran Open. The event seeks to promote robotics and artificial intelligence by holding tournaments. Yusuf Shalali has the story.
They may not be able to face human soccer players just yet, but these robot footballers are taking their baby steps toward achieving this goal. The 16th edition of RoboCop Iran Open brought together 100 teams from across the country to compete in different fields of robotics and artificial intelligence, with a focus on soccer robots.
Our robot is a soccer player that moves with its wheels. It's totally different from humanoid robots, but it can certainly challenge them and beat them in a football match.
We have taken part in the Maze League of the RoboCop games. It's the first time I'm involved in this big competition, where I have to implement all my programming, mechanics and electronics skills to win the game. I'm so excited.
Organizers say RoboCop seeks to promote robotics and artificial intelligence by offering IT experts a real-time challenge to build the most capable robots.
The idea of RoboCop competitions is to increase the creativity of IT experts in developing efficient robots. Why soccer? Because first of all, it is a highly popular sport, and second, it is a highly strategic game that requires a robot to perform many difficult tasks, which, if accomplished, can turn them into strong and capable robots.
RoboCop Iran Open is part of the international initiative dubbed Robot Soccer World Cup, or shortly, RoboCop. The event was first launched in 1997 and was inspired by the victory of a computer chess player against the then world chess champion, Garry Kasparov. The official goal of the competition, as stated by its organizers, is to hone the capabilities of humanoid robot soccer players so that they will win a soccer game against the winner of the most recent FIFA World Cup in mid-21st century.
While robots still have a long way to go before they can challenge the likes of Messi and Ronaldo, the ultimate goal of RoboCop is not about robot footballers beating human rivals, but the technology advances that can be made along the way to improve our lives. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, dear brothers and sisters, salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. This is today's special and the topic is giving gifts in Islam.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
Today, Sunday, is the 13th of Shawwal, 1443, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Ordibehesht, 1401, of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 15th of May, 2022, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For blessing this moment, we choose chapter An-Naml, verse 34 to 35. Let's listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. قالت إن الملوك إذا دخلوا قرية أفسدوها وجعلوا أعزة أهلها أذلة وكذلك يفعلون.
She said, indeed kings, when they enter a city, they ruin it and render the honored of its people humbled, and thus do they do.
وَإِنِّي مُرْسِلَةٌ إِلَيْهِمْ بِهَدِيَّةٍ فَنَاظِرَةٌ بِمَا يَرْجِعُ الْمُرْسَلُونَ
But indeed, I will send to them a gift and see with what reply the messengers will return.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Kings are often interested in presents very much, and their weakness is found in this very point. They can be made submit by precious presents. The queen announced, if Solomon, Prophet Suleiman, submit by these presents, it will know that he's a king, and we will stand against him, applying our power because we are powerful. But if he shows heedlessness to us and insists on his statements and suggestions, it makes it clear that he is the messenger of Allah and we must treat him wisely.
The greatest gift. It's the greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah. The greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah. What can be said of Mustafa? He was the wish of Musa, or the news of Isa, the prayer of Ibrahim. What can be said of Mustafa? He was the wish of Musa, or the news of Isa, the prayer of Ibrahim. It's the greatest gift from Allah to be in the last prophet. Summa salatullah wa salamullah ala al-hadi rasulillah.
And the continuation of the previous episodes of today's special, we'll look at giving gifts in Islam. The Prophet of Islam, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, enjoined responding in kind of favors. As he said in an authentic narration, whoever does you a favor, respond in kind, and if you cannot find the means of doing so, then keep praying for him until you think that you have responded in kind. Whoever does you a favor means whoever treats you kindly in word or deed, or by gifting you. Responding kind means to treat him kindly, just as he has treated you kindly. If you cannot find the means of doing so, means if you do not have the money. Until you think that you have responded in kind means repeatedly. Supplicate for him until you think that you have rewarded him his due.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about various aspects of offering presents and gifts to friends in Islam. At the same time, we find that in the Holy Quran and in the Holy Quran, giving gifts is really appreciated in the Islamic practices. Giving gifts is really appreciated. However, when it comes to giving a gift to a person by way of bribing him or her, this is really abominable and really detestable, because this is a kind of bribe. This is an instance of bribery or usury. And at the same time, it makes the person feel very much, entitled to do whatever the person who has given him or her this kind of present, and in fact, a kind of bribe or a kind of usury. This person who receives this present is entitled to answer whatever the giver wants, in a positive and swift way. We find that in all communities, everybody believes that the human being is a rational and sensational creature. So we find that the best type of human relations take place and may be formed when both the intellect and the heart, that is, both the intellect and the feelings, are in a good proportion to one another. At the same time, this means that based on the characteristics of typical fine and perfect people, as can be seen in the cases of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the cases of the infallible imams, we find that both rationality and feelings, both of them, were in a good proportion. It means that they acted based on a certain logic, and at the same time, they had some positive feelings and reactions to the cases where they were made happy or delighted.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
On the continuation of today's special. Now, this is the title of this part. To remove ill feelings by giving gifts. Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his family, said, "If you shake hands with each other, your dislike of one another will disappear. And if you give gifts to each other, malice will disappear." Giving gifts does not have to be for special occasions only. When given with a sincere heart, gift heals ill feeling and misunderstanding between the giver and the receiver. Gift is a great way to mend a relationship. Give gifts, for indeed gifts removes bad feeling from the chest, from the heart. Do not let a person look down upon the gifts given by his or her neighbor, even if it be a sheep shank.
The most valuable gift that everyone should learn to value today is that we should appreciate this life throughout our everyday. The most valuable gift that everyone should learn to value today is that we should appreciate this life throughout our everyday. The gift of life He granted us, how could we ever repay? show gratitude to your creator, and please do not delay.
Now in this part, we look at the best Islamic gifts idea for everyone. Islamic perfumes or etch, best present idea for him. Due to the presence of alcohol in the perfumes, Muslims avoid using it. They try to find some alternative with a soothing smell. Etchs are the best possible option that Muslims can use on their clothes. They are alcohol-free as well as provide a soothing aroma. Numerous kinds of etch are available in the market with different soothing smells, but the most popular one is rose etch. So if you want to give a gift to your Muslim fellow who he can use gracefully, then etch are the best possible option for it, especially in ceremonies. They can be from the list of best Islamic gift idea.
Now, when we look at the religion of Islam, we see that from an Islamic perspective, generosity is something that is liked and something that is very important and encouraged. And in fact, it's associated with faith. When you believe in God, you will be more generous. When you are a better worshiper and more devout individual, then that will be more likely that you will be able to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a virtue some people struggle with. Some people, they can't be generous. Some people, they like to hoard the money their whole life. And then the moment they die, they leave all the money in their bank account. That's it. They haven't done anything good with it. The religion of Islam encourages us to give during our lifetime. It encourages us to be a giver. And it is highly recommended. It is said that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, there was a man who died. And he had a storage, a warehouse that had dates in it. So he had written in his will that I want 1/3 of everything that I own to be given in the way of Allah after my death. You could do that in your wasiyah, in your will. 1/3, you could put it, you could do with it whatever you want. 2/3 will go to the children and the inheritors and those who receive the inheritance. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi went with the family and they were asking Rasulullah for help and dividing and everything. So once they divided everything, they found one piece of date in the corner of the room. One piece of date. They brought it to Rasulullah. They tell him, Ya Rasulullah, we found this as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi took that date and he tells them, if this man who passed away, if he had given this one date during his life, It is much better than for him. It is much better for him than if he had given it after his death.
Thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. We leave you in Allah's protection. And of course, don't forget to follow us on parstoday.com/en. Today's special. By the way, we continue this interesting topic that was giving gifts in Islam.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.